Mark chapter 4, most of us are familiar with the parable of the sower, and there are some great lessons that we can learn from this parable together this morning. So chapter 4 of Mark, verse 3 is where we'll begin. The Bible says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100." Now, if you want to drop down to verse 14, Jesus now interprets the parable for us. "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the title this morning is On Good Ground. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts this morning. I pray that it would be our desire, Lord, that our hearts would be that good ground, and that the word of God would be continually effective in our lives. And Lord, as we witness to the lost, may we understand these different soils, and may it help us and guide us. So may you have your will and way in our hearts, and we pray you'd meet with us now and be glorified in this service. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as Jesus explained that the word of God is to be sown, we're told in Matthew chapter 13 that it's to be sown in the whole world. And of course, Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so as Christians, one of our major responsibilities is to take the seed of this book, the Word of God, and to sow it among the world and trust the Lord to take it from there and work in hearts. But we all must understand that in this parable that Jesus is giving to us to teach us about the sowing of the Word, that in all four cases, in all four different soils, it was the same Word. So understand that this morning. The Word is powerful and is a miracle working book. But it comes down to the soil. And when we witness to people, unfortunately, not every single person we witness to is going to get saved, are they? It just doesn't work that way. We don't know which soil they are, but God does. It's not our responsibility to be evaluating soil. It's our responsibility to be giving out the Word of God and let the Lord take it from there and to see that seed of the Word of God sown in the soil of people's hearts. But one thing for sure, the more we sow, the more we'll see God reap. And so it's our responsibility to get the Word of God out to the lost, because as we're told in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, not of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So we are born again by the seed of the Word of God, and it is our responsibility to sow it. But I want to talk about the four soils this morning. And I want us to look at it in light of not only the people that we might witness to, but also in the light of our own heart. There's four different soils here. Which one of those four represents our heart? And that's really the question we need to be asking. What kind of soil is my heart when it comes to the seed of the Word of God? So let's look at the four soils. Verse 4, the first it says, they fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now down in verse 15 it says, "These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So these fowls, Jesus explains, they picture Satan and his helpers take snatching away the word of God before it can take root. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, God explains that one of Satan's main missions here on earth is to keep people from getting saved. It's sad, but it's true. He is the deceiver. He is a liar. And he will do everything he can to keep people from getting saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 3. "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So notice it says, the God of this world blinds minds. He makes it difficult for people to believe, difficult for people to understand the simple truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this soil that's by the wayside represents people who they really don't want to hear the word of God for whatever reason. And we've all dealt with the excuses that people give for not wanting to hear and believe the gospel, haven't we? And usually there's silly excuses in our minds, but they don't understand that they're being led by the devil, who doesn't want them to be saved. And so they come up with these excuses. They're not willing to admit they're a sinner, or they're not willing to admit that they have a need for the gospel, or they say, "I'm going to put it off," or whatever. What they don't understand is their heart is this wayside soil. And that the devil and his helpers are working in their lives to keep them from getting saved. How sad. It should make us that much more thankful that we are saved. Amen. That we heard and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the soil by the wayside is the first soil. And those people, sadly, don't get saved. Now the second soil, verse 5 and verse 6, it says, "Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and became, because it had no root, it withered away." And down to verse 16, he says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." So this soil on stony ground, it's very superficial soil. There's no depth that takes place in these hearers. We could call them shallow Christians, quick burners. We've all met Christians like that. You know, they get saved, they're on fire, and then, boof, they're gone. What happened to them? Where'd they go? You know, one week they're ready to tell the world about Jesus, and then they don't even want to come to church anymore. And that's the stony ground. The sun comes up and it's scorched. So they're easily offended, as we see here, by affliction, by persecution. There's no depth in their Christianity. If you go to 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible explains how important it is that the seed of the Word of God be constantly watered. Otherwise, it will not survive the persecutions and these attacks that they're going to face. Notice 1 Corinthians 3 down in verse 6. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3, 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." God expects the seed to be watered, and we all understand it. If you don't have water, plants don't survive. It doesn't matter how good the soil is. If you don't add water, it's not going to work, is it? And isn't it interesting how God compares the Word of God to water? The cleansing of the water by the Word, it says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says in Isaiah 55, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. He says he likens his word to the rain and to the snow that comes down and waters the soil. You know, we just had a holiday in a place where right now they're not having much water. So all the grass was brown. Everything was brown. Without water, things just don't grow. So these are Christians, most likely Christians, and you know, we could debate whether or not they're even saved. Let's assume they are, but they don't water their soil with the Word of God. They don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray much, if at all. They got excited when they first got saved. Hey, I'm saved from hell. Jesus saved me. I love Him so much. But then life happened. And they faced some persecutions. They faced some difficult trials, maybe. And the Bible says that they were immediately offended. And they fell away. Notice it says, because of the Word. It always comes down to the Word. So those are the ones on stony ground. That second soil. Now the third soil, notice verse 7, it says, some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no fruit. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So these thorns, they represent these things that choke the word. Notice it says, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things. I wonder how many Christians are sitting at home today. They're not reading their Bible. They're not serving the Lord because they allowed their Christianity to get choked by these three things. Either cares, and we all have cares. But what are we told to do with them? Casting all your care upon the Lord, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. But they allowed those cares to come in and choke the word, as it says. And also that says riches. How many have been drawn away by covetousness? By the lust for things. And you know, the Bible tells us, Colossians 3:5, that covetousness is idolatry. Or maybe it says lusts, pleasing the flesh, putting me first, which is, you know, basically the new motto of today's generation, isn't it? Me first. As long as I'm happy, that's all that matters. And yet Jesus said in Romans 13, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. But these things, these cares, these deceitfulness of riches, these lusts of other things, the Bible says they enter in and they choke the word. They make it difficult for a Christian to grow. They make it difficult for a Christian to flourish in their Christianity and become a faithful servant of Jesus Christ because they don't push aside those things. As we're told in Hebrews 12, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So that is the thorny ground. And sadly, there are probably millions of Christians whose heart is that stony ground. Let's talk about the fourth soil. Our desire should be that this is our heart. That this not only describes Christians who not only got saved, but then they continue to flourish in their Christianity, but it represents, let's make it more personal and say, is this me? Not think about others now. Let's just think about ourselves and ask, is this me? Verse 8, others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Did you notice in both verses he talked about fruit? The good ground brings forth fruit. Everything grows for a purpose. And God wants Christians to be fruitful Christians. He wants us to bear fruit. Jesus said those who seek the truth will find it. In John 7, verse 17. If you go to John 15, Jesus talked about how important it is that His children, that Christians, be fruitful Christians. Go to John chapter 15 and we'll see Christ talking about this. That His desire is that we be fruitful. If our heart is not good ground, we are not going to be fruitful. We may be saved, that our lives may be being choked by the things we saw in the former ground. Notice John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So now we know that Christ's desire is that we bring forth much fruit. That we'd be fruit-bearing Christians. Are we fruit-bearing Christian? When we look at the fruit of the Spirit, for example, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, is that us? Are those things flowing through us to others? If we're fruitful, they are, because it means the Spirit is working in our lives, and that fruit is coming through. But this is only possible if we're allowing this soil, the soil of our heart, to be constantly watered. And that water is the Word of God. And you know what it does? It causes great things to happen in our lives. We're told in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Grow. God's desire is that we keep growing, that we keep becoming better Christians, we becoming more fruitful Christians. That's only possible if our heart is the good ground and that we're constantly watering it so that it can be fruitful. In Joshua 1:8, let's turn back there. If you haven't memorized it yet, I highly recommend it. One of the greatest Old Testament verses on the power of Scripture in our lives. Notice, God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Look what the result will be. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The two things that the world is looking for, prosperity and success, God says are found in His Word. That when we meditate in, when we memorize His Word, when we do, as it says there, do His Word, when we're obedient, prosperity and success. That is the power of the water of the Word of God in the soil of our hearts. Prosperity and success. David said in Psalm 119:98, through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Everyone's looking for wisdom. There's where you find it. He went on to say in Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The Word of God has the power to bring peace and keep us from getting offended. In 2 Timothy 3, he says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, talking about the powerful Word. In Psalm 19, turn over there if you would, Psalm 19, verse 11, David says that the Word of God even has the power to protect us. Psalm 19, 11. He says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Talking about God's Word. It warns us, it protects us from going the wrong way and from making wrong decisions. But only if our heart is the good ground and being constantly watered. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word is powerful. God's word is what we need to water the soil of our hearts, that our hearts may be that good ground. If you would go to Hosea chapter 10, right after the book of Daniel, Hosea chapter 10, I want to show you something that when God was talking to his children Israel, he told them the same truth, that something had to change in the soil of their hearts. Hosea chapter 10, look at verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Look at this next phrase. Break up your fallow ground. Now, God is not talking about the literal soil in Israel, is he? He is talking about their hearts. We all know what this means, this fallow ground. This is when we see there's been a farmer's field. It hasn't been plowed yet. It's been sitting there idle. And it gets hard as a rock, doesn't it? You can walk on it and not even leave a footprint. And the first thing the farmer does when it's time to plant is what? He has to break it up. He has to get a plow in there and soften it up. God is saying, that's what we need. Break up our fallow ground. He says, it's time to seek the Lord. He's saying, it's time to repent. It's time to allow God to plow that soil. Apply the water. Apply the seed. And it all works. His desire that every believer have his heart be the good ground. The ground that's constantly growing the plants and bearing fruit. That's why he calls it the fruit of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, you shall bear much fruit. And he went on to say, without me you can do nothing. The fruit that we bear outside of Christ is useless. But the fruit that we bear through Christ, that's what God's looking for. So we've all faced these different soils as we've witnessed to the lost. We've seen the soil that was by the wayside, the soil that was on the stony ground, the soil that was among thorns, and then every now and then the soil that's on good ground. Now, I was talking to the Awana kids a couple of weeks ago. I asked them the question. I said, according to the Bible, are more people going to hell or more people going to heaven? They had to think about it, but then I gave them Matthew chapter 7, which says, wide is the gate, broad is the way, which leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the gate, or straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. How sad is that? But that's Jesus speaking. And here we sit this morning, born again. It should just make us that much more thankful that we heard the word of God, and we believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we were born again, and we're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Now what God wants is for us to take that seed and to tell others so they can be saved as well. And we don't know if they're going to get saved. We don't know what kind of ground their heart is. We don't know if there's been any preparation made by someone else witnessing, or maybe they've been reading the Bible, or maybe they grew up in church. We don't know those things, but God does. It's not our responsibility to be worried about those things. Just sow the seed. Give out this powerful book. Let the Lord take it from there. But if we have been saved, God's desire is that our heart continually be that good ground, that we, when necessary, we break up the fallow ground and we listen to the Word and we read the Word and we focus on the Word and we memorize it and we meditate on it so that it might continue to water that soil and that we might be that fruitful Christian that God wants us to be. So the Bible says on good ground, his desires, that be the description of every one of our hearts. Good ground. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.